So to me, relationships are far more important in the world that we live in today, instead of that trophy that's going to be in a trophy case, that's going to collect dust, and it's going to be 50 years old, and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore because of where you are in life. You can say, yep, I want a state title, but that's it. When your kids look at you, you tell your kids, yeah, Daddy won a state title when he was in high school. Well, Daddy, what's a state title?
Bentley High School football coach Bill Schaefer has been coaching the sport for 43 years. But it's not about the wins and losses. It's about what the guys take with them off the field that truly matters. And that's a Duff Said. This is episode 6 of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button here on Podbean. Now, Podbean is the new home of A Duff Said, and if you don't have the Podbean app, all you have to do is go to the Google Play Store or App Store and download the app and sign up for free. There is no charge to have Podbean. And once you are there, you can become a subscriber of A Duff Said. Now, there's a lot of podcasters here on Podbean, so there's a whole bevy of shows that you can listen to here on Podbean. So speaking on behalf of all those podcasters out there, we would greatly appreciate it if you would download Podbean. I am joined now by the head coach of the Bentley Bulldogs. Bill Schaefer is my guest. Bill, thank you so much for making the time.
You're welcome.
Now, you're a coach that wants to get the most out of your players. I think a lot of coaches do. But there's something else. There's an added aspect to you when it comes to coaching. You want to do everything you can to make sure they're getting the most out of you as a mentor. Now, when did you first discover the passion that you have for being someone that kids can look up to?
It would be December 22nd, 8 p.m., 2004. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ.
Not too many people I talk to can tell me the exact date and time. So what was going on at that particular moment?
Well, it was that, you know, I was doing it for myself. I was doing it for how I could raise up in the ranks of being a head football coach. It was about me. And on that date, at that time, my life changed. To where it's more about the boys and that they are led by a mentor that hopefully does it correctly. Now, I'm not afraid to say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So in my life, it's God, my wife, my family, and then the boys of football. And so I wanted them, my goal was that I changed. Sure, everyone wants to win, and society puts winning. I mean, that's woohoo, that's everything. And absolutely, you want to win in life. But what I changed and adopted to that, every young man that when he graduates and he plays his last game of football, his 12th grade year, that he takes four things with him from what I've instilled into him over the course of the last 4 years. And that would be to lead courageously, reject passivity, and expect a greater reward, which is God's reward. Now, these young men, you know, some of them don't know about God. Some of them do. I'm not a preacher. I'm a football coach. That's what I am. But I want to lead by example, okay, on my team. I do not allow cussing. When they slip and they cuss, they say, I'm sorry, coach. And then they give me 7 down-ups. Because why 7? Because you score a touchdown, kick extra point. That's 7. I want them to associate the number 7 with if they said a cuss word. Okay? And it's just, not only do I try and mentor the young men. In our district, we have a lot of poor, poor families. And so I want to treat these young men like they're my own sons. So I feed them, I take care of them, you know, pick them up, take them home, If they got, you know, problems, they can share them with me if they feel comfortable. And that's the type of rapport that I try and build with them as a freshman when they come in. And then when they leave, they know that they have a friend in Coach Schaefer for the rest of their lives.
We're talking with Bill Schaefer, the head football coach of the Bentley High School football team. Now, Coach, you've been around for 43 years as a coach. You've had stops in Grand Blanc and Flint Powers. In fact, you've been to a number of different places throughout the Flint area. But when we talk about Bentley High School, one of the things you just mentioned, you know, these kids at Bentley, they're not as fortunate as some of those other schools that I just mentioned. And there's a story that you told me last season about one of your biggest missions was to make sure that these guys were well fed when they went home from practice. What was that situation like, and what compelled you to help out?
Well, when I took the job a year ago Easter, I had to feel things out. I had to learn the kids. I had to learn the community. And so when we started summer practices, all voluntary, of course, kids would come, and we'd be, you know, doing 7-on-7 drills. And I'd have kids that would grab their stomachs, bend over, and throw up. And so, of course, I'm concerned. So I go ask them. I say, hey, what's wrong? Well, Coach, I haven't eaten in 2 days. And I said, what, you have no food on the table at home? And the majority of them, I would say 100% of all the kids that are on my football team have brothers and sisters. And I would say 99% of them, these young men are the oldest in their family. And so they say to me that, well, I gave my food up for my little brother or my little sister. Broke my heart. So I then went out and started purchasing hot dogs, bologna, ham, protein bars, buns, rolls, snacks, popsicles, water, the whole nine yards. And so when I found this out, then I started feeding them after practice. And then some of them said, Coach, I've got nothing in the tank. I got to have something before I go to practice. And so, of course, I would do the right thing nutritional-wise. I just wouldn't let them load up, all right, that kind of thing. So I'd give them, like, a couple of protein bars and some water. That would get them through practice. Then after practice, not only would I feed them, but I would teach them how to clean up after themselves. So the way that my kitchen, with all the food and fridge and microwave, how they left it is what they walked into the next day, which is something that they could respect and be proud of because it was clean. So by doing these two things, it's worked really well. Now that I've been here, going on my second year, the kids know how things are operated. And we don't have to no longer tell them, hey, make sure it's clean, da da da. They take care of it because they have ownership in it. And it's like we are truly like a family, because the boys that don't eat and they come here early to practice, they'll show up. As an example, our practices are going 3:30 to 8:30. So they'll show up at, like, say, 2 o'clock. I'm here at school. They show up at 2 o'clock. There might be, you know, 10, 12 kids. And we sit down, and they eat together. They're like a family. So when we do break our huddles, and on three we say family, they really are a family. They're learning that with each other, the camaraderie, the bond, you know, going to the wall for each other, that kind of thing. It went from when it first started to where it is today. I now have a Big Apple of Davison. They give me 3 bags of assorted bagels every day. They give that to me, and I bring it here to the kids, and I buy the cream cheese. I also have the Richfield Church of Nazarene. They have a food bank. And they are now supplying us with our food. And it's grown into a huge family. And I'm very, very grateful. And none of this would have happened without the hand of Jesus Christ upon Bentley football and upon these young men.
Now, when people think of Bentley High School, people know that that's the school that Kyle Kuzma came out of. He played basketball there. Now, the football program hasn't had much success in recent years, and certainly it's had its share of down years. And when you got the offer to come over to Bentley, what was it about that particular job that interested you?
Well, when I started coaching football back in 1976, I started at Flint Holy Rosary. And I was an assistant coach. And at that time, I mean, Flint Holy Rosary does not exist anymore. We had 200 kids in high school. We had two football teams. And in the two football teams, we ran about 35 to 40 on the varsity team and another 30 on the JV team. And so through the course of time, you know, being at different schools, being the head coach at different schools, and seeing how society has changed and world has changed, you know, so right now I'm 63 years old, you know, and I have a couple of state titles under my belt. But I am not like the, you know, Brother Rice coach or John Harrington, these gentlemen that have done it for 40, 50 years. They have numerous state titles, but they also were at big schools, and they had 60 kids on their varsity and 40 on their JV and 40 on their freshman. So I thought, well, this is nearing the end of my coaching career. I plan on coaching into my 70s, but I figured, why not go back to a school like the school that I started at? And through all my years of experience, take that program. I know what their program's all about. 1994, they made it to the regionals. They were regional champs in 1994. Since 1994, they've had three winning seasons. The last time they had a winning season was 11 years ago this season. And so I said, why not Bill Schaefer? And when they interviewed me, why do you want to come to Bentley? I said, why not Bentley? What's wrong with Bentley? All Bentley needs is some tweaking and fine-tuning and guidance, and we can get it back to the way that it used to be back in its glory days, because it used to be a real powerful school in football. Back in the day, back in the 80s, the 90s, and the 70s. Why not? So I got hired, and I told them it's going to be a process. And I told them, the only way I'm leaving Bentley is if I will stay at Bentley till I retire, as long as they give me the opportunity to stay here and work to rebuild a program to make it something that not only the Bentley area, but, say, Genesee County can be proud of.
So when you arrive at Bentley, obviously a huge culture change has to take place with the kids on your team. And that includes making sure they're well fed before and after practice, but also the no swear words policy that you put in place for these guys. How long was it before they got the message that they had to keep an eye on their language?
After the first week of football last year, the official week of football. After the first week, there was more than one. There was probably a handful that failed every day. And what had transpired is the young man that holds, he graduated, but he holds a record. He did 210 down-ups at the end of practice because of his cussing. And that has carried over. Kids still talk about it. It's trickled down into our junior high, and they know, hey, Coach Schaefer doesn't stand for that stuff. And also, I do not allow my coaches to cuss, because we have to lead by example. And we have to teach these young men how to communicate in the real world without using foul language. And so I've had a couple boys, they have slipped. And one thing, how we conduct practice, which I changed this year, it's a whole different philosophy. I'm not going to let any shenanigans disrupt my practice. We're going to practice. Now, if someone's cussing or there's shenanigans going on, we wait till practice ends. When practice ends, the team is a family. So for shenanigans, that's not cussing, but for shenanigans, the whole team runs sprints or does downers. For any individual doing cussing, and I have a clipboard and I keep track, they pay when practice is over. And they've said to me, they said, Coach, we got to learn. I'm trying, Coach. I slip, but I'm trying. And I say, that's okay, Mikey. I'm going to help you, brother. So as long as you're slipping, we're going to be getting you stronger because you're doing downers. And other kids laugh, but they know this is the way Bentley football is going to go into the future.
I'm picturing a kid in the hallway right now. He's just getting frustrated about something, and he's thinking, oh, if he could just let something slip. But then he realizes that, you know, it's not allowed in practice, so I better not do it here. So you've got it ingrained in the brain now, probably.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
When you arrived at Bentley, you didn't have a very deep roster. Last year, you had 20 kids. This year, you've got 18 playing for you at Bentley. What did you learn about them in the initial times that you were with them?
That these, I could say 100% of the young men that are participating in Bulldog football, they want to succeed. And they look at football as, man, if I can win at football, if I can do my job there, I can translate that into the classroom. Because above, first and foremost, above actually playing football, they've got to cut the grade in the classroom. They've got to do that. And we have some pretty strict policy here. If you have a E, you are ineligible for the game. And they're learning that. They're starting to trust each other to not, and they feel bad if they let each other down. I had a few boys that had to go to summer school to become eligible to play football, and they played last year. And they apologize, honest to gosh, I'm going to use the word profusely. They apologized profusely to me because they felt they let me down. I said, it's not about letting Coach Schaefer down. It's about letting your friends, your team, your family down. And the boys that are playing football, I can see their personalities have changed to where they pump their chest up. It's like, I'm part of this football program. I don't know how many wins we're going to have, but it's been ingrained and instilled in me. I not only want to be a good football player, I want to be a good student. I want someone that the teachers and that the student body can look up to and be proud of. And I believe that is 100% of my football team. And, you know, it's 18 different personalities. And to get these 18 personalities to gel, it's a gift. And I'm the vessel. And I'm just doing what God wants me to do. And, you know, I give all the glory to him because he's the one that's giving these young men, I'm getting these young men to believe that the gifts that they have athletically and academically, it all comes from above. And now it's up to us to do our very best to show appreciation for what we do have in our mind and in our body.
How did the parents respond to what you were doing with their children and being like that mentor for them from 3:30 to 8:30 in the afternoon?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. There's parents I don't even know of the boys that are on my team. There's parents that accept what I'm doing. And then there are parents that are really thankful for what I'm doing because they see a change at home. They see a change in their personality. They know that when they drop their young man off here to go to football practice, they know that Coach Schaefer is going to take care of them in every aspect. You know, like if it's a medical thing or whatever it is, they drop their son off to me and my coaching staff, and they feel like, you know, like I can be relaxed. I know where my son is. I know what he's learning. I know what Coach Schaefer and his staff is trying to ingrain into their heads. And this is a win-win situation.
For kids who play high school sports in the Flint area, this is a chance to not just take their game to the next level, but it's also a chance to get out and just move on from all of the negative aspects that are associated with the Flint area. But as for yourself, you've been a guy that's centered much of his life around the Flint area. Many of your high school coaching jobs have been around Flint area schools, and you also held a job outside of coaching in Flint for a number of years. Flint's always been a part of you. So how rewarding is it to know that you're having this kind of an impact on these young kids' lives?
I can't put it into words because I'll tell you, fostering relationships to where, you know, there's young men, to give you an example, there's young men today. So I started coaching when I was 20 years old. And so you figure they were 18, the seniors at that time, they were 18. We are still friends, and they still call me coach. And they'll still reach out to me. So through the years, I still have players that are close, dear friends to me, and they're all over the United States. And it's like the friendship that we made. And even though it was only 2 years apart in age, the respect that they give me as, hey, coach, listen, I got a situation going on here. What do you think? So there's some young men that are 61 years old, because I'm 63, that still ask me these questions. So it's like I can't put it into words, but it's so, I guess, it's satisfying. It's absolutely phenomenal and tremendous that I was able to be something in a young man's life over the course of the years that he could take with him what he learned from me to where we still have that bond today, and that maybe some of his success in life as a man had something to do with the way that I treated him and became friends with him.
Now, you touched on it earlier. You've won some state championships throughout your career, but how do the relationships outweigh the trophies?
The most rewarding is the relationships, because that goes on for a lifetime. The state title, the 1978 state title at Flint Holy Rosary, the school no longer exists. They have a beautiful, huge trophy still in their trophy case, okay? And that particular team got inducted into the Greater Flint Genesee County Hall of Fame, that kind of thing. And so they have the picture of the team back when they were in high school, and now they have another picture of the team of all these grown men that are 61 and 60 and 58 and 57 years old, okay? Now, that's there, but no one sees it anymore, and no one talks about it anymore. That's part of history. So to me, and don't get me wrong, I'm not anyone that's listening to this, it's important to win, because we also have to teach our young men how to win, okay? And here's the difference in winning. I know I'm going off track here a little bit, but it's about success. Unfortunately, society puts it on the W or the L. It's not the W or the L. It's about the feeling that the young man has of success when he knows he left it all out there on that field on that Friday night. Now, we could have ended up on the short end and lost the game, but we got better as a team, and they felt success. So in order to do that, you have to build a relationship with them. So to me, relationships are far more important in the world that we live in today, instead of that trophy that's going to be in a trophy case, that's going to collect dust, and it's going to be 50 years old, and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore because of where you are in life. You can say, yep, I want a state title. But that's it. When your kids look at you, you tell your kids, yeah, Daddy won a state title when he was in high school. Well, Daddy, what's a state title? Then he tells them what a state title is. But you know what? When that little boy or that little girl looks up at you and extends their hand to you, that's what it's all about. And that's what I hope, that these boys know that my hand will always be there for them.
Yes, we always tend to take a look at the wins and losses. And obviously, if you look back at last season, you guys were 1-8. But your kids got something so much more than just wins and losses. They got a chance to learn about life. They got a chance to be fed, which sometimes they didn't get that opportunity. They had to go to bed hungry. And that is amazing that you have taken that time to make sure that these kids have so much more than what gets printed on in newspapers and what they see on the internet, on social media. You have had that kind of impact, and I hope that people get a big takeaway from that.
Well, thank you, sir. I hope so, because it's all the truth. It comes straight from my heart.
Let's touch base on the Bulldogs for this season. You guys lost a tough game on the road to start last season at Memphis. This year, you get the Yellow Jackets at home to start the season on August 29th. In fact, you guys get 5 out of the first 6 games on your schedule on your home turf. What kind of season are you hoping for this year?
Be truthfully honest, we feel with the 4 seniors that I have returning, and they played for me last year, and they know what I expect, and I put the bar high. And I also know that to change the culture of the football program, it has to come from within my boys and not the community. And so to see, you know, of how I love them, and I can say I love them and respect them and want to work hard for them, they've returned that back to me 100 times fold. And I believe that this year, I'm not going to let my butt or my mouth overload my butt, but I believe with the talent that we have, and because I have 2 freshmen, that's it, only 2 freshmen thus far are out for football. Now, we start school next Monday, and we might get some by then, or, you know, we might get more. But we have 2 freshmen, 4 seniors, and then the rest is a combination of sophomores and juniors. Well, these sophomores and juniors, and the seniors, all played for me last year. They know what's required. They did work hard in the off season. I had, out of 18 kids, I had 15 kids committed 3 days a week all summer long, with the exception of July 4th week and our dead week that the MHSAA has us have. And they got stronger. They got faster. They got smarter. And I truly do believe we are looking at a 4-5 season or a 5-4 season. Or possibly, if everything falls out rightly, maybe making the playoffs for the first time in 11 years. But one of the big, and I stopped right there, but I got to tell you, with 18 kids, I got to keep kids healthy. And we have conditioned tremendously. And so if I can keep these kids healthy, and I have the same kids I start next week with that we end up with the season, and they're all healthy, we're going to surprise people. We're going to have a lot of smiles on the community.
He is the head coach of the Bentley Bulldogs. Bill Schaefer has been my guest on A Duff Said. Bill, thank you so much for making the time, and best of luck to you and the Bulldogs this season.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you and all the listeners.
Well, there you have it. Don't sleep on the Bentley Bulldogs. You know, throughout the course of this new season of A Duff Said, we're going to be talking to a lot of coaches, a lot of players, and a lot of teams that are going to make runs at conference titles, at district titles, teams that are going to try to make a run at Ford Field, teams that are trying to get back to Ford Field, reigning state champions. We're going to have them all on this new season of A Duff Said, but I'm really glad that we could take the time to tell Bill Schaefer's story, because when I first met him, He told me, you look, we don't have a lot of players on the team. We don't have a lot of success. We haven't had success in a while, but I wanted to make sure that the number one priority was I get these guys fed, that, you know, they're not going to bed hungry. And that really resonated with me because it took me back to a number of years when I was watching an episode of SportsCenter with my mother. We were watching this story on this guy who was drafted in the NFL in the seventh round, one of those guys that was one of the very last taken. And he had a lot of personal tragedies going on in his life, a lot of things that were just, you know, would weigh heavily on a guy's mind and really distract him from his ultimate goal, which is to make an NFL roster. And I remember my mother just looking at me and saying, that's the guy you root for. Now, in my time as a sports journalist, once I reached that professional mark, being a sports journalist, I don't root at all. I don't root for the players. I don't root for teams. I just try to root for content, good stories. And Bill Schaefer, him and the Bentley Bulldogs, are a great story. Speaking of great stories, here's what's on episode 7 of A Duff Said.
All those kicking coaches, they look at me and they're like, why is this kid here? Like, he can't, like, he looks like a linebacker. There's no way he can kick a ball. And then I go out there and do it and they get really surprised. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this kid.
Freeland's Jack Dreyer looks like a bulldozer on the football field, but surprise, this dude can put it through the uprights as well. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of A Duff Said. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what A Duff Said.